One of the things I wanted to reiterate that I didn't mention last week, when we're talking about that first part of the book of Romans of those two ways, man's way and God's way, I have heard it said, and I think that it is wrong to do so. You have to go back to Romans 6. Remember what Paul says there? I have had some ministerial colleagues and others tell me that even those who are Christians, that you have to let them be. You know, if they're doing something, say if they're doing something wrong or what have you, why, you just let them go. You know, and you do your best to try to bring them back around. As I said, Satan's not worried about those outside of the church. He's already got them. What he does get concerned about is when they come into the, when they are added to the body, when they do become followers and disciples of Christ. That's when he works on them the hardest. But Paul tells us in Romans 6, he tells us there that how we come in contact with the blood of Christ is through our baptism, through our immersion into him. And that's how we arise and walk in the newness of life. But remember also what Paul says at the beginning of Romans 6 there. Because I believe the people in Paul's day had an issue with that. That's why he says that. May we continue to sin that grace might increase. Paul says, may it not you. May it never be. No way. No how. So those people had the idea, well, hey, God's grace is upon us? Why, we want more of that grace. So we'll sin more. And we sin more, we get more and more of that grace. Paul said, no. Shall we continue to sin that grace may increase? No. And the reason why I bring that up is because some people had the idea that it's okay and it's all right to continue in sin, because after all, they are Christians. Won't God overlook that? Or some people think that they can continue to do wrong things that they know are wrong, willingly, and yet remain in Christ. I think, how do you think God looks upon that? I think it goes back to Romans 6. I think, would you not agree that if a person thinks that that's an affront to God? That's an affront to his son? We can come worship him and come and serve him, but we're willingly and we knowingly know that what we're doing is wrong. And we're going to continue to do it. Liars. What's that? Liars. But they don't see it that way. Liars. But they don't see it that way. But trying to get people today to see that. That's why, again, I see that people have a wrong idea and concept of God. That's what we're learning through our study in Ezekiel. Why do you think God, throughout the book of Ezekiel, throughout the chapters, he ends it with, so that they may know, I am the Lord. I am the Lord God. I am Yahweh. Why does he say that? because they don't understand and don't know what his true nature and character is. And God says, these ain't going to happen to you. I'm going to do these so that you know my true nature and character. It's the same, people, it's the same way today in what Paul is saying in Romans there. This way or his way? And God still is saying with what he tells us through his word and what Paul is saying through the epistle of Romans. I want you to know my true nature and my character. I want you to, and how you do that, to know that, I want you to know my son. And that's why Renee was talking about that in this, when she came up on this channel and this guy was speaking in that. There are people out there, and the preachers out there, and teachers out there that you can find on YouTube and find on the telly and what have you. They know just enough of this to hook people in. But they twist the scriptures to their own destruction and to other people's destruction. And why? Because, as I said, they know just enough to hook people in, but the people today and the people that they hook in, they're not reading this. They're just imbibing what they're told. Why there are those out there who are saying, well, I'm today's prophet of God. I'm the it. I'm the answer. Or this one or that one. When God says, I spoke to the fathers, to the patriarchs, I spoke to the prophets, and last of all, I've spoken to my son. He's not going to speak any other way, but through his son. So all the way up through, from chapter 4 to chapter 8, Paul is telling us, if you want to be well, if you want to be whole, if you want to be complete, if you want forgiveness of your sins, if you want those things, Paul says, it's in Christ. Paul is saying, that's his way. Your way is doing whatever you want. And many people go throughout life and they'll do that. But the end of their life, you have a tendency to want to ask them, how's this working out for you? How'd this work out for you? Ask the rich man about that. And what Jesus said in Luke 16? Not a parable, an actual thing. How's that working out for him? Many people, you could ask that. You think of old Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra. Song, My Way, I Did It My Way. Man's Way, I Did It My Way. How do you think that's working out for him now? And many people are in that, but what Paul is saying throughout these chapters is that you want to be well, you want to be complete, you want to be whole. It's in Christ. Now in chapters 9 through 11, what Paul has done there is what I said last week. And people, brothers and sisters, if people are telling you a different thing and you're hearing a different thing, it is wrong. What Paul is saying there is that as far as God is concerned, in chapters 9 through 11, what he brings out there, and he wants his own kinsmen to know that. That's why Paul said, I'd be taken out of the book of life if I could save my own people, if I could save my kinsmen. What Paul is saying that just because you're a Jew doesn't mean you're saved. That's what they thought. And what Paul brings out is what he says there is God, as far as the nation of Israel, Paul says God's done with it. And why? Because it was through the nation of Israel that the Messiah came. And once the Messiah came, God's purpose for Israel as a nation was completed. Many people don't want to think that today. Many people think that we still have to follow the law, go back to the law. But Jesus, remember, he said, I didn't come to abolish it. But did he say, I came to continue it? He said, didn't come to abolish it, but I came to fulfill it, to complete it. Jesus was saying that I've completed the law. That's the importance of when they was on the transfiguration. One saw Moses, the law. One saw Elijah. Peter, James, and John saw Elijah, the prophets. You put all those together. That's why last of all, they disappeared. Last of all, Jesus is standing there. And God says, hear my son. Listen to him. Because what that signified is the law and the prophets all wrapped up in him. And that's what Paul is saying here. And what we have to teach as well. You see, as far as the nation of Israel is concerned, God is done with it. Not the people, no. But Paul says throughout this that they have to come to Jesus in order to have salvation. So that's the gist of Romans 9, 2 through 11. Now what about 12 through 16 as we come there? That deals with all as well as in Christ, if we're in Christ and we're complete and we're whole in him. Now all those last chapters, I would summarize it this way. It comes down to us. How we deal with one another. And it's wrapped up in, this. Love. Not the sentimental thing that so often people think about, but the agape love. Read 1 Corinthians 13. Romans 12. And I've said this before, and I firmly believe this. They want to say that this justification by faith is the center of Romans. My opinion is that the whole epistle is important. But Romans 12, 1 and 2 is the key for us. But be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. And Paul says that's your reasonable service of worship. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Offer yourselves daily as living sacrifices to him. It's that spiritual transformation. People, we have got to get this. My brothers and sisters, this is so important. Right. And how do we do that, see, Jeff? That's what Paul is saying. By the renewing of our minds. It's not good, it's not acceptable, it's not perfect. Don't do it. Yeah. But that takes that transformation. And so many people don't want that. But if they would just realize that by doing so, their lives would be so much better. It wouldn't mean they'd have a bed of roses. No, God never promised that, did he? He never promised that all our problems would be gone. But life would sure be a whole lot better doing it his way than their way. And that's what we've got to show people. And that's what Paul why he ends when he talks about how we relate to one another, fellow Christians, how we relate to others outside of the church, Romans 13, and then Romans 14. Loving those who are weak and those who are strong. And I maintain that we can both be weak and strong. You think so? I think so. We can be both in certain areas. And Paul is saying for us to love one another in that. Towards me, that's the gist of the book of Romans. And overall, the book of Romans is important to me because this is the key. Spiritual transformation. The renewing of the mind. People, I've been told that, well, preacher, you don't have a vision. The reason why your church isn't growing and not getting so big and everything, because you don't have a vision. You don't have a mission. What's your mission purpose? You got your mission purpose, on your website, or you got it on your anything you pass out. What's your purpose? What's that?
This is our purpose.
What's our vision?
This is our vision.
Well, I'll give you what I would say is the vision and our purpose. It's to glorify God through his Son. And we do that through this. That's why people didn't understand Jesus, you see. It's because they were thinking temporally. They were thinking earthly. And Jesus comes along and says, he who has ears, let him hear. He has eyes, let him see. What he was saying there is, I want you to not think earthly, temporally. I want you to think differently. I want you to think in a new way, in a new direction. I want you to think spiritually. Because Jesus was saying, this isn't all there is. So many people today in our world, even some of you would find in the church, in essence are materialists. Because all they can think about is what they see. Material things. But Jesus obliterates all that. And we have to begin to think, instead of earthly and temporally, spiritual. And that takes the renewing of the mind. And the only way that we can renew and have the renewing of the mind is through Christ. But it's this, adhering to this, like Renee said. Learning this, making it part of us, and helping one another to do so, so that others can see it. But I will tell you this, whether others come with us or not, we, as the body here, we must maintain the word. We must continue to strive to be, have the renewing of our mind, and be spiritually transformed. Even if it comes down to it, we're the only ones. Because I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I want to be told at the end of my life, do you not want this? At the end of your life, be told, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest of your Father." We talk about, we're going to stand, we'll sing "For God So Loved the World." We talk about this being Father's Day. Many of us didn't have what you would call perfect fathers, did we? I don't think any of us have perfect fathers, right? No. But there is one who is perfect, who wants to parent us. He considers us his children, and he wants us to parent us, no matter how old we are. He wants us to consider him the perfect father, because he is. And he's the only one that is, see? That's what it comes down to. It comes down to his way, not our way, not man's way. What's that?
Love without hypocrisy.
Yes. Yes, in the 1 Corinthians 13. Beginning with next week, we're going to look at some characters in the scriptures that you might not have thought about, and the lessons there. And we'll start with an Old Testament character. It's quite interesting reading his history, but there's a big lesson in that. But we'll deal with that next week.